Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Brustin-Nortman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Nortman.
So, this reminded me of something that I saw and I've been hearing about. Your co-host on Mr. Irrelevant Strophe, Josh DiMaggio, really believes that Matt LaFleur is holding Jordan Love back. And when Josh Jacobs got hurt, I think naturally he wasn't like, all right, I'm not going to just lean on Emmanuel Wilson the entire game. Did anyone get a feel that that turned the tide of like almost letting him loose and getting that feeling of like, all right, Jordan, yes. Go cook?
The answer is yes. Yeah, I mean, you could tell there was finally, in albeit forced trust, there was finally trust to put the ball in the hands of your $55 million quarterback and trust he can go in contact.
Take no, that
I agree
for that
with
to
you.
Happen.
I agree, but give me you think it's trust?
I don't think it's trust. I think it's him having to change what he wants to do.
I think it's stubbornness. I think it is stubbornness.
It comes from Matt LaFleur wanting to run this offensive game plan and do it this way, but when you don't have an elite running back like Josh Jacobs back there and your team is not winning by a margin where you can feel comfortable enough to give the ball to Emmanuel Wilson and possibly eat up a clock, you have to put the ball in the best player on the football field's hands in Jordan Love, so he had no choice but to do it. But I think he trusts Jordan Love, but I think he trusts and wants to execute his game plan more than he wants to put this team in a position to be successful. Yeah. It's a me thing.
I don't necessarily disagree with any of that, Kyle. It's more so the point, though, that it shouldn't take this, right? You can have two good players on your offense coexist together in Jacobs and Love, and they did a good job of that last year where they utilized the run to open the pass, but I think that was more of a play because of Love's injuries throughout the course of the season. He wasn't as mobile as he is this year, and maybe that'll stop being the case after a little shoulder flare-up yesterday. But all in all...
I know. I've been meaning to bring that up, but it's about time he learns to slide. But he's too valuable. He's been going head first and trying to run guys over, which as competitors we all love, but you're too valuable.
If it's fourth down, you got to have it, and it's a game-winning drive, maybe. But not the situation.
What was it, the first or second quarter? I think second quarter that happened in yesterday. So, no, you're right about that. But all in all, yeah, the two halves, I guess we could say, this year where LaFleur has just unleashed Love and allowed him to go off script and make plays was second half against Pittsburgh and second half against New York. And both of those games resulted in wins and really impressive showings by Jordan Love. I'd argue probably his two best halves of the year.
Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman, Strofe running the show, 800-990-3776, Carbless Talk and Text Line on YouTube, at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. And so we're bringing up the fact that Jordan Love felt freer and played with that like confident swagger rhythm, despite the fact that his wide receivers continue to drop the ball for him. You know, Justin's been chiming in a lot about this, and we've talked about it a little bit, how Josh Jacobs only really likes running from the shotgun. And he says, this ain't on Matt. Jacobs is the wrong running back for this offense.
They played under center with him a little bit earlier in that game.
A little bit. And that's something that they have been doing.
And Bulaga talked about that.
And that was what I was just about to bring up. Brian Bulaga, who joins us at 4:45 today, he joins Boldy and Tausch during the week. Obviously, he's a Super Bowl champ right tackle for the Green Bay Packers, who did have a year under Matt LaFleur. There is a way in which you can, as Strofe said, marry the two players that are your two best offensive guys. And that's been something that I think everyone expected the leap from last year to this year to have happen, but it hasn't. And so now, again, this goes back to our entire conversation of who this team is. My curiosity and my antennas perk of, like, if Josh doesn't play, what does this offense look like without the guy where Matt LaFleur continuously wants to just run with him?
Slinging that thing.
Well, yeah, I think it's Jordan Love being the man. And if you guys remember that 2023 magical run, which still is
just slinging it.
Jordan Love's best football, right? MVP level football was the second half of that 2023 season. Aaron Jones was hurt for a lot of that, if you guys remember.
Sure
was. I was looking back at some of these box scores from some of these like epic wins and epics. It was A.J. Dillon and Patrick Taylor, right? Yes, Ben, sounds like you want to object.
I just want a prereq here. Let's not forget when Aaron Jones did come back.
He was great.
Just as not if not better.
He was extremely effective.
He was great, but Jordan Love had found his rhythm, mm-hmm. and he was in it, and he was mm-hmm. trusting his receivers. I think Matt LaFleur opened the playbook. So it's almost like a way to kickstart Jordan Love in this offense.
Okay.
Is like, let's just put it on his shoulders and let him start cooking. That then allows things to open up more. And you're right, when Aaron Jones came back, he was very, very, very good. So I think with this situation, you know, when Matt LaFleur wants so badly to balance this offense out. I mean, he really wants to run the football. And when it comes to figuring out, like, well, what does Josh Jacobs want to do? And what does Jordan Love want to do? And what do I want to do? What Josh Jacobs wants is open holes. He wants running lanes. Like, he doesn't care. Yes, he might prefer to take it out of the shotgun, but if he's getting stalemate at the line, he doesn't care if he's getting it in play action or whatever. So it's an opportunity. It's a rare and a strange opportunity for Jordan Love to kickstart that rhythm that we need to see a little bit more out of him and for this offense. And then maybe by the time Josh Jacobs comes back, it's adjusted. But letting Jordan Love cook is almost always the right decision.
Yeah, and what we saw yesterday, we showed that this is Jordan Love's team. Jordan Love, every time he's getting the opportunity to drive this football team down the field for a tie or for a go-ahead score, he has successfully done that for the Green Bay Packers. And so this is why he got to put his imprint on the fact that this is my team. And as you just said, Brad, they should definitely look to change the formula. This should be a passing football team that opens up the running lanes for Josh Jacobs, but is going to be on the wide receivers to catch the football, to get open so the football team can execute at a higher level. If Jordan Love has time, he is going to dissect defenses. You saw it yesterday. You
that's
saw
a huge if he has time.
Yeah, that falls,
yeah, it falls again, into it, the it offensive it, line it, conversation and scary his, things.
But what the offensive line, I'll give them credit, later in the game, they did do a better job of giving Jordan Love more time, right? And he was able to buy time with his legs, step up in the pocket, and do some different things. He didn't have guys right in the middle of him this game, and he was able to make magic happen. And so, again, I want Josh Jacobs to play on Sunday, but whether he plays or not, Matt LaFleur should be thinking, this is Jordan Love's team. So Josh Jacobs going to get his touches, whether it's based off the fact that we're going to throw the ball and then drop it to him, or based on the fact that we're going to find him in screen plays. But at the end of the day, it needs to be Jordan Love throwing the football as much as possible, because like we said, we've found out in 2023, Jordan Love can throw for 30 touchdown passes. He can throw for 4,000 yards. And he can lead the team to a playoff win on just his arm. And so let's put the rest of this season on the arms of Jordan Love and let the rush game be complementary to what the passing game is.
Well, yeah, if you want to have people respect the running game and be able to have some space, the passing game needs to be operating. And I'm not saying sit back and throw it 30 yards every play, but some easy, quick hitters, you know, get the ball, a 1-2-step drop and get the ball out. There are, I mean, between Golden and Dobbs, and there's plenty of weapons for him to be able to do that. Even getting Jacobs or whoever the running back is, you know, just involved in unique ways. I just think when this offense is running through Jordan Love, it's at its best.
I think this conversation's timely because of who they play next. And there's been games where Jordan Love has thrived against the Vikings. And we also know there's been times where he has not. And that is based off their defensive coordinator, Brian Flores, usually top five in the league in blitz percentage.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a fascinating matchup again for all of us to learn even more about the things that we don't know and can try and guess if it's going to be good or guess if it's going to be bad. But we're going to find out together. Dan and Toma, you're on the Carbless Talk and text line 800-990-3776.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I've been listening to you guys all day. And we talked, you talked about the line can't be fixed, that they need culture, which might be a new head coach. So my question is, are we at the breaking of the dawn or whatever you want to say, that if the Packers don't make the playoffs, would they get rid of LaFleur? And what happens if Atlee goes? The Packers aren't going to promote Atlee, are they? And speaking of the line, isn't that part of Goody's? He went out and got Banks. He moved Jenkins over to center. Are we seeing a whole new era coming up in the next year if the Packers don't perform? Can we see all new coaches, special teams coaches? Coaching has been killing us for 3 years.
Dan, we talked about a lot of these extensively last week. Goody deserving more blame for the Aaron Banks signing, Jordan Morgan draft, and I think overall as an organization moving Jenkins from guard to center wasn't great hurts. Despite him being out for injury.
I never thought I'd miss Josh Myers.
then I think we're at a point now where they're not going to miss the play. If they miss the playoffs, he's gone. And yes, that I don't know if that would lead to Goody being gone, but the whole coaching staff would be sayonara.
Goody ain't going nowhere because it comes down to, at a certain point, a player development. And player development falls onto the coach, right?
Well, feels like, for the most part, there's enough talent in the room to, one, compete, make the playoffs, and two, improve year over year. And I think that's the thing. That's the frustrating thing with these drops. We dealt with this last year. You felt like they were going through their growing pains in 2023. How has there not been that level of improvement? How has there not been improvement in some other areas where you feel like, okay, this is the year that they are starting to peak to greatness, and they're just not there yet?
Was it the win?
I just wanted to chime in. I have met Dan and Toma. Not actually Dan and Toma, but I have met Dan and Toma at a dive bar 800 times in my life. I've met that dude.
I love his
voice. The thick Wisconsin accent. Oh, yeah. I don't want to call it a conspiracy theory, but like the at-large Packers questions while you're sipping on something at your local tavern. Like, I've met that guy 100 times.
You're a tavern guy.
You know, you are that guy. You're Dan and Toma.
I'm a younger version of Dan and Toma, yes.
Yeah, I meet more of the Kay Adams in bars back in the day.
Oh, wow.
Excuse me?
Come on now.
Not Kay. Yeah. As he said, not Kay.
Not up to that standard. No, not for you, not for sloppy.
No. Whoa, now. I got a good resume now. Don't make me bring it out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Don't make me bring out the resume.
Bring out the resume. I'm sure that'll make your fiance really happy to hear about your past resume.
I had to dig deep to do the books.
Oh, he got stuttering.
The books.
Pre 2020 books.
What does that mean?
He doesn't know. Victory Monday is brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious blends like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian. Your game day is covered with Palermo's, and find them in your local grocer's freezer. You can also find a Cheez-It pizza, a legendary snack cracker available in frozen pizza. It's the perfect amount of Cheez-It flavor in the crust with great flavors, Italian four cheese, cheddar jack supreme, and pepperoni. With one of the shortest bake times, you go from freezing to cheesing. Find Cheez-It frozen pizza in your local grocer's freezer aisle. Jason Wilde, scheduled to appear. Didn't communicate that one. 3:45.
Thanks for reading the email.
Yeah, it's on me today. I'll take that one. Are you going to bet Ryan and Madison, or are you just going to be scared of them?
Oh, wait, there's a bet now?
He wants to bet you about the Bears Packers.
I don't think I can do that on the radio, Ben.
Oh. Take it offline. Be a man.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're 92. It's,
yeah, yeah.
I thought it was 93. Tough. You said 93.
Almost 93.
When's his birthday?
May.
It's July.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not a kicker, but it's certainly, I think it was impactful. But the bottom line is, and we experience this quite often on our practice facility where it is windy, and you got to find a way.
Got to find a way, according to Matt LaFleur. Windy or not, let's make some kicks. Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman. On this Victory Monday, brought to you by Callen, from kitchen and bathroom remodels to Infinity by Marvin Fiberglass Replacement Windows, Callen makes your home feel like a win. Request your consultation today at callcallen.com. Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman. Strophy's running the show. UKB and Nation, 800-990-3776 is the carbless talking text line. I'm not going to lie. This is a very negative Kyle Wallace for a Monday after a win. Is that fair, Strophe? I've never seen him like this.
I think it's just...
I'm negative.
Well, I think it's just a product of working with you two, unfortunately, for what Kyle. Mean? You've beaten him down so bad. You've beaten the man down. At least I've got a room of separation where I can maintain the positivity and the vibe.
What do you got?
You have eyes. So you watch this team.
Yeah, I've got eyes. I watch this team.
I watched
the Packers quarterback look like a superstar in the second half. Just the man we've been waiting to see.
I literally said he had a better Pro Football Focus grade in this game versus the Cowboys in 2023 in the playoffs.
No one's doubting Love's greatness.
Yeah, but this is the turning point. Are you aware what started 2 days ago?
Toyotathon.
Damn right. It's go time, baby.
What about what your eyes see on the field beyond Jordan Love and all the things that have plagued this team from an inconsistent standpoint?
I'm not concerned about the defense despite allowing 20 points and a lot of rushing yards yesterday. I still think they're good.
Good.
They're going to get LVN back in the mix, and he's had a better, not statistically, but he's been better this year than Rashawn Gary, who was limited in snaps yesterday. Carrington Valentine's been
awesome.
That's
a really good. That should make you feel really good. That the guy that you extended, pay a lot of money to is limited in snaps.
Well, extended him, 3 years ago? Carrington Valentine's been one of the better corners in all of football the last 2 weeks. He's only allowed 2 catches for 15 yards each of the last 2 weeks. That's a good sign. Evan Williams has had an awesome year in the back end. Xavier McKinney's still good. So I'm not as concerned about this defense at all in any capacity at any level.
But what about their chances to go far in the playoffs with what you've seen through week 11?
You're going to learn a lot about this team over the course of the next 5 weeks. You got 4 divisional matchups in the next 5 weeks, 2 in the next 10 days, and we should know a heck of a lot more about this team than we do right now.
But doesn't scare you at all that you have seen such an inconsistent team throughout the year?
Tell me who hasn't been inconsistent in the National Football
League. I
don't know about
You want to say New England? I mean, sure, New England hasn't proven anything, though. Right? You want to say Denver?
I agree.
I'll still take Kansas City, even though they beat them yesterday. Right? And
five.
The Rams have been pretty darn good.
Rams have been good.
Who have the Rams beaten?
Seattle was horrible yesterday, though. They got their booties beat.
They were a field goal away from winning at the end.
But what
Sam
Darnold
Spike
do?
Getting their booties
what Darnold
beat.
Do?
Exactly what he did in the playoffs when he faced
pressure. You want Darnold or Love?
A couple days ago, they wanted Darnold. That's what they said, didn't they, Strofe? They sure did.
He's having a better season.
Look at okay.
I'm actually having tried to have a conversation.
I think Darnold threw as many interceptions yesterday as Love has all season.
Boy, he cooking. Fire. He on fire.
I was just going to compliment you on doing a phenomenal job of not answering the questions about the Packers and doing the Kyle and just making about everyone else.
He's cooking.
Kyle, stop. What's the question?
What do you see from the Green Bay Packers that makes you feel confident about them moving forward?
They have a really good defense. They have a really good quarterback. And I think their head coach is by force.
What happened to the guy that
time,
was worried about this we'll team long term once they lost Tucker Kraft and you were crying?
I know. Have I said right now that I think they're going to win the Super Bowl?
Isn't that what it's about?
Of course it is. But I think coming off of a victory after two losses in a row.
Yeah, what's a realistic?
Strove's brain.
NFC Championship game.
Do you think that, or you think that's like the ceiling? You think they'll get there?
I think the ceiling is getting to the Super Bowl. I don't know about winning it. But I think realistic expectation, which I think it was before the season, was get to an NFC Championship game. I still think that's on the table.
Man, he... Strofe.
Need to get hot.
You're good.
Are you concerned at all that there has been
come for your job, I guess. You're complimenting him for doing a better job explaining his optimism than
come
you.
Come on, pepper
a bit of a blueprint now that if you can neutralize Micah Parsons, which the Giants tried to, he's still got a bunch of... He led the team in pressures and sacks.
He had a strip sack and a sack and a half.
Right.
James had quite a bit of time back there. Yes, he did. Before I answer that question, though, I said this a few weeks ago. I want to say it again. Because we've gone almost an hour and a half without really mentioning Micah at length. The guy is so impactful. He's
amazing.
So good. We're already doing what we do with Giannis. We don't acknowledge the greatness in front of us enough.
He's a closer,
Mike
man.
Mike is unbelievable.
He's amazing.
Anyway, in terms of the lack of pressure yesterday.
Well, no, because, I mean, he did his part. But if teams would just say, we are going to double or triple team him, and if we can take care of him, then we're not too concerned about everybody else. We can go one-on-one because it's...
But that's even why I bring up a guy like LVN. If you can get more hitters in there, because Rashawn Gary wasn't good enough yesterday. Kingsley Enagbare was fine,
and
but
if you
can bring
LVN
me
LVN to be,
but yes, but you have more depth then, right? So you can rotate more pieces in, and he was off to a pretty good start.
I was gonna say he was not bad to start the year.
I guess my take is this team
not bad, and
But if you can add depth at a later point in the season, similarly to how I feel about Reed on the offensive side of the football,
Even the losses, even that the Packers had, they didn't get blown out, and the Panthers and the Browns not necessarily, but the Eagles are a good team. It was a close game; they still had a chance to win. All those good things. The Giants are probably the worst team in the NFL, and they're decimated by injury. Mm-hmm. And a win's a win in the NFL. Definitely not taking anything away from that.
They're not the worst team in the NFL, but they're the worst team in the NFC.
Yes.
He's doing the thing where he's making them just a step up on the pedestal.
Well, there's another team that plays in their same stadium who's worse than them. The Jets. The Jets are the worst team.
That's tough, tough in New York City right now.
Brutal.
It's always tough in New York.
And Buffalo's been underwhelming.
And just think of these things that have gotten in their way from this team being great. This team's definitely good. They're definitely a playoff team. I just think that it's hard to take away any real meaty conclusions that make you feel really good about this team against a team like the
Giants.
I have
a question for you, and this is a genuine ask because I don't know. I know the year you were in Carolina and you made the Super Bowl, your team was good all year, right?
Yeah.
You went 15-1, if I'm not mistaken. 15-1. But in Jacksonville, you were obviously really good, and you rattled off some big wins to get to the AFC Championship game. About the midway point of the season, where were you guys at? I asked this for a reason.
For the Jags, we were leading our division.
Okay.
I don't know specifically what we were, but I think we were 12-4 that year, I believe.
Okay. So I guess
good team that year.
Why I ask is, were you playing your best football before Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving?
I think we knew who we were. Like the defense was dominant. Dominant. We knew that's how we were going to win games. We knew that if we ran the ball and had, you know, basically Bortles could minimize interceptions and issues, and special teams could just keep the thing moving in the right direction, then we could win ball games.
But I know it's funny to laugh at Bortles, but there was a recipe.
They knew exactly. The Green Bay Packers don't have a recipe.
Consistent recipe.
And it worked.
Let's acknowledge what he just said, though. The defense was dominant. Check. And they have a quarterback who is about to get unleashed. And I'm confident saying that because Josh Jacobs has been banged up, but he's going to be extra banged up. There's going to be more pressure on Jordan Love to win football games. And I'm confident in that recipe. He's a really good quarterback.
And to that, when has Jordan Love not, when the ball's been in his court, when the game's been on his shoulder, when has he never rose to the occasion?
Examples.
Playoff games.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia Eagles game, the offensive line was as decimated as it is right
second
now.
Second half against the Niners 2 years ago. Yeah.
I mean, he played well in, you know, that game.
Ironically, against the Giants on Monday night, his first season as a starter.
That wasn't like an essential game. He really stepped up.
You keep asking, and then we give examples, and it's just like, no, you're wrong, perfect.
Even this time last year, I felt like we knew more about the 2024 Packers than we do about the 2025 Packers.
I think that's revisionist history, because he was banged up, and we didn't really have a great expectation of what he was capable of.
But
I think we have a better example of him specifically this year.
You had a solid running game. You had Jordan Love that if he gets healthy, he's able to do some things. And you're able to beat, you know, the good to bad teams and the great teams you're struggling with. But maybe on a good day, you'd be able to beat them.
They did have a better identity last year, which is shocking.
More consistent identity, I think, is maybe the way to put it.
Better identity is probably wrong. I don't know if I want my identity to be beat the bad teams, lose the good teams.
The consistency, right? Yes. Like, that is the level that they're continuing to lack. And we even said they were inconsistent last year. Right? Or they didn't have the ability to beat the good team. So maybe it wasn't a consistency question. Maybe it wasn't.
It's all been consistency this year. Who's going to be going to show up each and every time they play.
It's all to answer the question. And just to jog my memory, I went back to the Jags 2017 season. The same weekend, we beat the 0-16 Cleveland Browns in an ugly game, right? Like, I think we beat them by maybe 12, but it was kind of back and forth the whole game. We were 7-3, and we were like ahead of the NFC South or AFC South, excuse me.
Hold on, can we just acknowledge the parallels for a moment?
6-3-1.
6-3-1.
Very close.
You were 7-3.
Beat the worst team in the NFL.
We just beat the worst team in the NFC.
Who did we play next? Well, we lost to the Arizona Cardinals. I remember that game. That was a very flat game.
Damn, not as many parallels.
Anyway.
Because we're going to smoke Minnesota on Sunday.
There was a clear identity and a clear formula. Like, if we win, it's going to be because we did this. If we lost, it's because we did this. And that's with the Panthers. That's with the Jags that year. I think with the Packers, what's so confusing is, if they win, they did what? Like, I still can't answer that.
They scored 27 points.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a good answer. Like, it's a really good answer.
How they got there,
we don't know. But they got there.
What a weird coinkydink that is, huh? 5 of their 6 wins this season, they've scored exactly 27.
That is very strange. Very strange.
You like the use of the word coinkydink there, Brad?
Yeah, I didn't love it.
Okay, thanks for being honest. I'll try to be better for you.
Great segment by you, though.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, this was fun. Keep the vibes up. Let's go. It's Victory Monday.
Strofe, I'm with you.
That's why I called you out because now all of a sudden here comes flip flop Kyle.
No,
I know what we're doing on this side. I'm gonna revisit texts about Kyle to start the show versus where he is now. Next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman, KBN.
Transformers, Megan Fox.
No, I would say Megan Fox, we all good, but 7:45, it's time to go. You had to transform your ass up out of here.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. Went in, got evaluated, and figured it was good enough to come back, so came back in. But, yeah, it was definitely not fun. It's, you know, just a small injury. So we'll reevaluate it when we get back, look at it, see what's going on. But, yeah, it's not fun.
A lot of players that you don't want to see leave a game had left the game. Jordan Love, obviously, with the left shoulder, came back. Josh Jacobs with the knee. Structurally looks good. Day-to-day, week-to-week sort of thing. So we'll keep you updated on that. As the Packers do win against the Giants, move to 6-3-1. But to start the show, this text I received at 2:18 from Don in the 954. I'm impressed that Kyle is not saying the Packers are a great team again. Not falling for this up-and-down performance. You sound a little bit different 5 minutes ago.
No. This is the problem, is that people get confused that I can have multiple opinions that form what this Green Bay Packers team is, and the football team to me has been an inconsistent football team, but their ceiling, they could win a damn Super Bowl. Why? It's because everybody else around them are just around the same level that they are. I love what we have at quarterback. The offensive line may or may not ever get it done, but the defense that Stroke was just talking about, they do have good pieces on the defense. I'm just very nervous if they run into a real stud wide receiver in the playoffs, the corners are going to get cooked.
Do you feel good about the defensive line outside of Micah Parsons?
Yeah, I feel good about him. I don't feel great. I feel good about him. I think Rashawn Gary, he's obviously been inconsistent. He started off really, really hot. Now he's kind of coming back down to earth. Devontae Wyatt has his ups and downs. Carl Brooks, ups and downs. The whole defensive
line. Sounds like you feel really good about it.
No, I do. I feel good about the defensive line because he's
arguing with himself.
No, I'm not.
You don't feel good.
I'm not arguing with myself. What I'm saying is this. Is that
they don't know.
It is hard for me to understand. It's just hard for me to understand how they can have games, like Strofe talked about before, against the Philadelphia Eagles where they slow down Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts isn't able to scramble or run all over the field, but then they have games like Rico Dowdle will be able to run as he wants to, and then this week the Giants two backs able to run how they want to. Like, it is very confusing to me how they can lock in and slow down elite rushing attacks, and then all of a sudden they get gashed and the other team, like you said, Ben, imposes their will on them against teams like the Giants and the Panthers. It is very confusing. So you ask me, are they good? Yeah, they're good because I've seen them play at a high level, but then I see them play at a level like they did last week, and I scratch my dreads because I'm confused.
I do the same.
I don't get how a team could be so inconsistent on every facet of the game. Matter of fact, Brad, I know Homer said punters don't mean anything. Literally, our punter has been the only person that has been consistent every single week. Every other part of this football team has had a level of inconsistency at some point this
and
season.
Even he gave Lucas Haversick laces back on one of the extra points.
That was Lucas' fault. That was his.
That was bad. It basically impossible to kick a good ball when you're like that. But his punting game has been awesome. Shout out Daniel Whalen. But you're exactly right. Let me answer that question. If on Sunday morning, next Sunday, you know, Micah Parsons woke up with the flu and couldn't play, I would feel pretty bad about this D-line. Now, that's not fair because they did pull off an epic trade. Goody got Micah Parsons, and he is a defensive-changing addition. Everything is different when he is in the game, and the Packers do have him on that team, so it's not a fair assumption, right? I can admit that. However, it's reflective that I don't feel like the D-line is really great without him. They're playing generally solid because of his impact, and so much attention needs to go to him. There are other teams like the Lions. Look what the Lions did without Aiden Hutchinson last year. They kept on rolling downhill, and they kept on playing great.
So
I'm not sure that this defensive line is built to withstand life without Micah Parsons.
Let's go quickly to Lasagna and MKE. Lasagna, you're up on the Carbless Talk and text line.
What up, fellas?
Yo, what up, Lasagna? My bad.
I figured, Mr. Wallace, you'd have something to say. I'm kind of concerned. You know, I'm hearing a lot of, we got to throw this on, Love played phenomenal. But we got a lot of wide receivers with a lot of drops. Brad, you brought it up earlier that this O line can't be fixed, and the kicking could be fixed. And I'm just kind of concerned with the state of the team right now, at least with the injuries, who we lost. I don't think we should put so much on Kraft, although he is yak and cheese, so we got to love him for that. I just don't know, even if we had all our bodies, if we've addressed all the issues we should have. Now, is that Gutekunst giving LaFleur what he needs, or is that LaFleur not knowing what to do? And I think that's where the issue is. We have a quarterback that could put the team on his back, but do we have a coach-GM relationship that they can hash out and iron out all the wrinkles to make sure that we can move forward?
Well, what the biggest thing I take from that is they got to figure it out fast between Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst. Not if this team is good or not, but if they can work together to bring a successful end of season. And obviously, it's a lot of that is on Matt right now. The players are going to be the players. If you add anyone, it's a late veteran or whatnot. It is what it is. This is the team that Goody gave you, and it's on Matt to prove that with Jordan Love and all these injuries, he's able to work through it, because everyone has injuries, and you got 5 divisional games left. Who are you going to be, Matt? Who are you going to be?
I don't know. I feel like Goody gave him the ingredients to cook. Now, you ain't always going to get the best ingredients, but he got some dang good ones.
Yeah.
Up and down this football team. Even on the offensive line, they may be struggling, but it's coaching.
Let's go to John in Milwaukee. You're up on the Carbless Talking Text Line with KBN, John.
Good afternoon and happy Victory Monday, gentlemen.
Indeed.
Now, I'm not going to call my shot, but I'm saying it's trophy. The thing that gets me about this season that tells me the Packers could do it is there's not one team in the league that you look at and go, my God, that is just a squad. And, you know, every team has a couple games you're like, how'd they lose that one? So I'm not discounting the Packers, simply because there isn't a team that seems to be the team.
Again, I will continue to agree with that point, but you still have to continue to work and look inwardly at what you are and what flaws you have and what you can fix versus not, so you don't like get in a spot. Because, like, again, right now they still can win the North. The North is in front of them to take, and if they do and get a home game, look at that, hell of a lot better than having to go through the same route that they've gone through the last 2 years of being the 7 seed on the road for all those games. That's a hard thing to do.
That's true.
But I'm going to tell you that every time I walk on the Prince Club and I played some tennis last Thursday, and I walk in, everyone's so friendly. It's an environment that, like, you talk about a strong mind, a strong body, a strong community, and you find your better tomorrow there. Like, literally, I love when I'm there. I feel myself wanting to get better and better and better. And that's what you're going to feel when you walk in too. So just get your tour. Go to the Madison locations and the New Berlin location in the Milwaukee area, and you will feel exactly what I'm talking about, and you'll fall in love. Bottom free child care with a membership, open 24/7. So if you're looking for your better tomorrow, there is no other place to do it than the Princeton Club. Jason Wilde going to join us next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
I have never seen BBL together.
Don't
I've
know.
Seen BBQ.
Yeah.
Barbecue. I've seen other things like that. I've never seen BBL.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The people that watch the Jets regularly, those 4 people, yeah, I don't know.
3-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
This is like me announcing that I'll be on Wilde and Tausch tomorrow. I mean, God willing, if the creek don't rise.
Holding everybody accountable.
You play to your strength, and their strengths, if their offensive line can block the right people.
Jason Wilde is on Kyle Brustin Nortman. Do you want it?
'Cause these dancing feet don't. Joining us now across ESPN Wisconsin is Jason Wilde. Listen to Jason 9 and noon across these various stations on Wilde and Tausch. Jason, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing well.
We won, Jason. We won.
We.
I'm a shareholder.
I'm glad you're. I'm eager for all the positivity, and then I look forward to a very positive grade from you after the segment is over.
Yeah, hey, just as long as you say all the stuff I love that you agree with me, then it'll be a great grade.
Well, why don't you start, Kyle? What do you want him to agree with right away?
Well, Jason, I think something that we have to address is finally, unfortunately, it took for Josh Jacobs to get hurt for the Green Bay Packers coach Matt LaFleur to actually allow for Jordan Love to be unleashed. Do you think this would be a formula for the Green Bay Packers moving forward to be pass first to open up the running game for the Packers?
Yeah, I don't think that's how it works, bud.
He butted you.
Bud.
Keep going.
I think you know this offensive system, the CAN system is very much predicated on what look do you get? And then if a different play is better suited for the look that you are getting from the defense, change the play. And so I don't think he said, oh, Josh Jacobs is out, I'm going to start having him throw the ball all over the place, in part because if you look at it, if you do throw it all over the place, it looked like there was about a 50-50 chance it was actually going to be caught the way things went yesterday. So, you know, I don't agree with your premise that Josh Jacobs got hurt and he decided to unleash Love. They got matchup. He believes in matchups, and whether you agree or disagree with that mentality, that is the reality of how he goes about play calling. Like, did he call more pass plays because of Josh Jacobs' injury? I mean, maybe slightly, but Jordan Love still only threw 24 passes yesterday. He threw for 174 yards, I guess it was. I mean, I don't think he operates in a, you know, I'm going to unleash the hounds, unleash the quarterback in this matchup kind of mentality.
Well, because remember a couple years ago, he did say Jordan Love, you know, got to let it rip a little bit, right? And it seemed
right,
like after that.
But he was a first time, but wait a minute now. He was a first time starter in the league, and he didn't know what Jordan could or could not do. And so he was treating him with some kid gloves in terms of his offensive approach, and it wasn't working, right? You saw the way they started that season, and so everybody thinks back on that, and, you know, I can proudly say that getting him to bring up the let it rip thing was one of my better moments in a press conference with him, because I thought that was really enlightening into his mentality as a coach, and it was an admission that, hey, I played it too safe with this young quarterback. And so I have to... And the issue was not just telling Jordan to let it rip, because Jordan was playing with some reluctance and some, I don't want to make a mistake, but it was telling him that he had to stop playing that way. The line that LaFleur always uses is indecisive equals ineffective. And so that was part of the equation. But then the other part, and that was the part that I called LaFleur on, and he was great about it, was, okay, you can't tell the quarterback to let it rip if the play caller doesn't. And so I don't think they're at the same place as they were then, where he needs a refresher in letting him let it rip. At the same time, look, I think we're underestimating two aspects of some of their offensive struggles. And it's not like yesterday was some sort of watershed moment where they're now going to morph into, you know, the 2011 Packers that are breaking scoreboards throughout the NFL. But one of the things that happened after Jacobs went out was they saw more man coverage. They saw more, opportunities to throw the ball down the field. Some of them were risky. Some of them weren't. And so, again, I think it's important to understand that LaFleur's mentality is, it's not to the degree of like how Belichick used to be defensively of, all right, every week we're going to identify the guy we have to take away, and if that means we play a totally different style of defense than we normally do, so be it. But he definitely is predicated on matchups and expectations of coverages. And so yesterday, I'm not sure that there's causation between Love making a couple of big-time throws and Josh Jacobs getting hurt, because Josh Jacobs was pretty productive before he got hurt. And I thought, you know, the way they were dropping balls, if LaFleur wanted to, he could have gone into kind of a shell and said, well, let's just hand the ball off to Emmanuel Wilson and grind this out. And The other problem, and we'll never know because their defense was on the field for so long with, what was the one drive? Was like 16 plays in almost 10 minutes.
Yeah, there's a lot of long drives.
Super long drive. Like, you know, you get more possessions, you get to do more things offensively. And so maybe he did want to throw the ball even more. But I'll tell you this, you throw the ball to Christian Watson and a lot of good stuff happens. That, there's no denying that.
Jason, in the beginning of the season, I asked you, who are these teams' leaders? And on the offensive side of the ball, you said Tucker Kraft and Josh Jacobs were the vocal leaders. And Jordan Love, you know, sort of leads in his own way more through action. Have you seen Jordan Love step up more vocally in his leadership role with the void of Tucker Kraft and now even with Josh Jacobs out for an unknown period of time?
Yeah, I don't think he's, again, as you know, Brad, I'm not with these guys when leadership needs to be demonstrated, right? Like, I'm not on the sideline, and I can try and watch that when they're at home and see how he goes up to guys. But there's a lot going on. I would say this. I love the fact, the emotion that he showed after the touchdown to Watson. Like, I love that, right? I mean, he was legitimately fired up, and that's not that is not his default setting. Now, obviously, it's easy to get excited about a play like that. It was a great play, great throw, great catch. Turned into double coverage because the safety, as Matt LaFleur was just explaining to us, dropped off the tight end, so it looked a little riskier than it was when he let it go. But the fact of the matter is that that kind of demonstrative excitement is probably one way that he does need to elevate his leadership, right, Brad? Like, there's value in that, and Tucker Kraft is undeniably one of those in-your-face, fired-up type guys. So in that way, maybe that's a sign that he's adjusting. But look, again, this is one of the things that I really like about him. You know, I know everybody loves to assume that I just love everything about Aaron Rodgers because of all of our time together, but I didn't love the way he would, you know, show guys up sometimes or, you know, show his frustration. And Jordan Love doesn't do that, even when the guys are dropping balls left and right like they were yesterday.
I will say, when you mention the Christian Watson touchdown, it makes me think he's had an incredible journey, and I think that's part of the reason why he's easy to celebrate. He was a great teammate to Romeo Doubs, tore his ACL. He's had injury issues throughout his whole career, and he has been awesome since he's came back off the ACL, so that could be it. We're out of time on the ESP Wisconsin portion, Jason, so we appreciate you joining us, and we'll talk to you on Thursday.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde.
It was good. He basically said that, hey, he ain't changing nothing.
And he called you Bud, which was my favorite part. Jim, Matt, and Molly up next in Madison, the Dam Sports Show in Beaver Dam. We continue on with you on 94.5 ESPN and YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. Don't go anywhere. Kyle, Bruss, and Ortman in 2 minutes. KBN's the show that never ends.